tradition and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're back, and let's grab Louie in Arkansas up next. Hello, Louie.
Hey, how you doing today?
We are doing great.
Well, listen, I don't want to be a medical show here, but I am a cancer patient. I'm in remission, and I was listening to the gentleman from North Carolina, and my situation was that I had stage two, and I was able to go through chemo and everything like that, and then instead of having my bladder taken out, they just took out the tumors and the chemo wash, and then they put me on infusions. The problem was I got infected by the infusions.
Oh, man.
So I couldn't take it anymore. What infusions did, it went in and cleaned up all the cancer cells and all my lymph nodes. But and so my oncologists, they were real concerned about that because I couldn't take it anymore, and they thought the cancer might come back. But I subscribe to an OmniVista medical team that they're strictly supplements that they have found that can kill cancer cells. One of them is in the shiitake mushroom. The fluid out of that mushroom, it's a natural cancer killer. So I ordered the supplement soon after soon after I couldn't take that anymore. And every time I went back to my oncologist or my surgeon, they said, well, you still have precipitants of cancer cells. I said, yeah, I probably do, but they couldn't find any tumors. And I told them, I said, well, I'm taking this supplement that's going to take care of that. So right now, I've been in remission for about 6 months, and I still take my PET scans and my physical exams, but my doctors are just totally amazed. So, and that's the reason why I mentioned OmniVista, because if other people are listening, not only do they help with cancer, but the total health of a person's body. So a big pharma, the only thing they know to do is they use radiation or they use chemo or they operate. And their success rate is not that good, but with some of these supplements, they're up to like 80 to 90%, where they actually cure people that Big Pharma hadn't been able to do. Well, having said that, I just wanted to kind of help anybody that's listening on that note. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was exactly what the other gentleman brought up, was about Petrino. I actually met him before he actually started being our coach when he moved here. He was in one of the Walmart stores, and I just happened to come in that morning, and it was him and his wife, and I know his son and his daughter. I'm not sure who else was there, but I actually talked to him because our defensive coordinator had left for another team. I asked him, I said, well, who do you think you're going to get for your coordinator? He said, well, I really don't know. And I said, well, at the time, before all that happened, I said, well, we're really glad you came. And, of course, we have another coach in the SEC that had some indiscretions. But, you know, I'm like you, Paul. I think people ought to, you know, forgive these guys. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on them. And, you know, and I know it isn't right what they did. But, they've moved on. Let's move on. And so with that, what are your thoughts about
Arkansas? First of all, let me thank you for sharing your story with us, because I do think we all learn. The dicey part of this is that Arkansas fans are excited today because Petrino's there. They're not excited by the head coach. And it's almost like, okay, this makes things better. But there's still an issue. I think Petrino can solve some of the problems. But I still believe there will be a reckoning. Thank you very much for the call, and we certainly wish you the continued best in your recovery. Meanwhile, there is a football game Saturday in Atlanta, Georgia. They've been having some pretty chippy practices. I'm assuming that's a good sign, but never assume in this business. Let's ask Sarah Spencer, nice enough to join us again from the AJC. Sarah, great to see you. Been fun seeing you throughout the year. So let's try to unpack what all this means. Tell us what you're learning as we get ready for Atlanta.
Yeah, definitely. Georgia had its Bloody Tuesday practice yesterday, and running back Kendall Milton described it as one of the most physical, chippiest practices they've had all year. And it kind of tied into what he was talking about with how Georgia faces a milestone this Saturday in the SEC championship. Georgia's accomplished so much stuff over the last few years and has been so dominant. The one thing they haven't done is beat Alabama for the SEC crown. So they're taking it seriously. They're well aware that they haven't beaten Bama in Atlanta. And I think that's what they're looking forward to getting done.
Yeah, Sarah, it seems so interesting. I know everybody's probably thought about this, but 2 years ago, we all said, doesn't matter. This game, Georgia could lose by 50 points and they're still in. And they did try to lose by that many and they were still in. You have to think, do you not, that this is a tremendous advantage for Georgia that people are openly saying they may not get in if they lose this game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do think Georgia had a little bit more cushion that year than it does this year, just with the way things are playing out around them. I mean, you could maybe make the argument, and there's some brainstorming to be had, you know, if the game was like last year's Ohio State game, you know, in the Peach Bowl, but let's say that field goal goes in. I'm not trying to jinx Georgia. Let's just say hypothetically. Then, you know, if it's this close, you know, the game of everyone's dream and it's so evenly matched. However, even that still might not get you in. So the good news is for Georgia, they control their own destiny. They're still at one, you know, fortunately, but I just think the easiest thing for them to think about is just we control our own destiny when and you're in, because the calculus around them, there's a lot of good teams. There is some, you know, Georgia fatigue, I'm sure. So, you know, would people want them in the playoff? I don't know. They might want, you know, some fresh blood or something like that. So just take care of business and no one can argue that you shouldn't be in there.
Well, Sarah, as somebody who's been around this team for a number of years, just what are your thoughts on maybe some of the vulnerabilities of this dog team as it faces Nick Saban's team in Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the toughest things for Georgia right now is facing Jalen Milroe, potentially, you know, likely without Jamon Dumas Johnson, a linebacker for Georgia, experienced, talented guy in the middle of your defense. With a quarterback who can move, who's a run threat, in addition to all the other things he does, I think that's probably the biggest thing that, you know, could worry you if you're Georgia. They've got other guys, of course, you know, who can step up into that role. But that's one thing that I think that is, you know, a concern. I think that's probably the biggest thing, but you've also got so many guys. You've also got, you know, Javon Bullard's been so dominant in that secondary. Carson Beck is playing at his best. You know, it seems like Brock Bowers, if it's just soreness, can hopefully go for Georgia. So there's going to be some pieces around Georgia that they can rely on.
So let me go to Brock Bowers, because he didn't play. Take us through the timeline from when we first saw him a couple of weeks ago to where we are now in terms of that decision, and if he plays, which I assume he will, what's he capable of doing?
Yeah, so he did not play against Georgia Tech. Georgia had a number of guys out on offense for that game against Georgia Tech, and, you know, it ended up being close. Georgia Tech played them very well. Brock is dealing with soreness in that ankle where he had tightrope surgery. And I mean, I think that's, you know, he came back so fast from it. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure soreness, when you come back so fast, when you are moving that ankle, when you're putting weight on it, you're cutting. Soreness is probably pretty normal when you're rehabbing. So we'll see what he's capable of doing. I think it's going to help that he was able to take a little bit of time off and take, yeah, go easy on it a little bit heading into this game. And I know for Georgia, you know, you're going to hope that you can get Brock as close to full systems go as possible, because he's been pretty unstoppable for Georgia when healthy.
Sarah Spencer from the AJC, we appreciate it. It's always good to see you, Sarah. We'll see you in Atlanta. We take a short break now. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're back. I'm Ann is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey there.
First off, prayers to all the people out there that need them. There's a lot of folks out there that need prayers. And you know that there's people all around the country right now praying for you. Paul, you had a caller named Bogey. He used to call quite a bit from down in this area. I believe he was in Birmingham for a while.
Yes.
And he suddenly passed away the last day or two.
Oh, my goodness. It wasn't that long ago that we talked to him. He was
a memorable caller. A week or two.
Yeah,
he's a good caller.
Very good.
And
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yep. Yep, and he did get to see the Iron Bowl. He's a big Bama fan, and I'm proud that he was able to see that before all this happened. And I tip my hat to him, roll tide to him.
Thank you for saying that.
I'm trying my best to be a kinder, gentler person, but it's hard. You know how hard it is? It's real damn hard to be kinder and gentler with all the hand-wringing and the panic going on with the Bama fans. Legend calls in, he's loud, he's going to trash, he's black hatting, he's going to bust a hole in sheetrock with his bare hand, you know. And then you got Larry, bless his heart. Larry, you better take care of yourself. I mean, we're expecting you to be here. But he's just all sullen, and the world's against us. I mean, they're plotting. It's all about, it's Bama fatigue, it's fatigue, they hate us. I mean, when do these guys understand that there's a whole lot of other people out here in the football world, and the committee has been saying all along and kept them steadfast at number 8 for a reason. And they have given their reasons. And you know what? I believe this committee is going to continue to do what they're doing with the reasoning and the formula behind their theories. And it doesn't matter who wins what, when, where, and how. This is that they're going to make their mind up based on the guidelines they set up. Not all the callers on here and standing out there and, you know, busting sheetrock and giving out black hats and drinking 12 beers. And Larry, if you're going to go up there with a 12 pack, you got to remember there's 13 of them and then there's one of you. So you need at least 24 beers. That'd give you 11 and 13 for the other guys if you can't do the math. And you know, Paul, the panic mode is from one extreme of the spectrum to the other end. It's quiet and sullen and just shaking in the corner, naked under a coffee table in the den or the man cave. And then you got these people out here loud, jumping off the roofs and pointing fingers, you know, from death row to fan mail. You got to love that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, all of that said and done, they see the handwriting on the wall. What the Auburn Tigers did Saturday was exposed Alabama for everything that it cannot do. Do they have explosive plays? Do they look good on certain plays? Absolutely. But they totally suck on the side that they suck on. And you know what? Let me go back to Legend. You know, Paul, in my travels, I go to a lot of people's homes. I do a lot of work in the cities, out in the countries. I see all kinds of people, all kinds of animals, sheep, emus, crocodiles, you name it. But there's one family in particular that brings Legend to mind. They got a family jackass that stands out at the fence, and he brays and brays, and he's loud. He's real loud. All he wants is a cigarette and a handful of Cheetos. Give Legend some damn Cheetos and a cigarette. And listen, Legend, you got to remember, Elvis died face first down on the bathroom floor with his buttocks up in the air, squeezing. Poor damn Eagle, have a good day.
His what up in the air? His buttock. Cat Daddy.
I got to follow that. Greetings and salutations,
yes,
Big
got
Paul.
To.
I'm gonna tell you that I'm gonna tell you what. There must be something going on in this country that I ain't know about, but they smoking some good stuff. I'll tell you that. Anyway, what I called it about was totally out of football, but it's more economically. We found out something here at the liquor store today.
What's that?
After doing some inventory, and this might interest you.
I bet it will.
People are still buying alcohol, but they have gone. We sell Absolut. That was one of our biggest products. $24 for a half gallon.
That's a Russian vodka, right?
Yes. Now they are buying a Japanese vodka called Taki, which is at $12
right.
a half gallon. People still drinking. They just buying the cheap stuff. I think that's why everybody's screaming and yelling at each other. What do you think?
And by the way, Cad, you understand there is a difference between cheap liquor and vintage expensive liquor.
Oh, do I know that?
I have no idea what it is myself, but I'm told that by Randy.
Well, being you and the connoisseurs, Randy and I all are, we probably understand that more than most people, but let's keep that a secret.
We will. Augie, who probably buys the cheap stuff, right?
Well, I thought, is Absolute Russian or is it Swedish? I
always
don't know.
Thought Absolute was Brahms is a Russian?
I don't know.
Oh, right near the is southern Sweden near the Russian border. Excuse me.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
Stolce. Well, isn't Stolce Russian? Okay, that's the one. That's
Stolichnaya
what I was, that's what
is
I was thinking
Russian.
Of. Excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't had vodka since college, so I really don't know.
I think you defend the Swedes by saying, you know, it's so close to Russia. Let's
don't
just
mean
call
to,
it Russia.
My Sweden friends, both of you, I'm sorry.
But, Paul, you upset some people. You're very frequently upset. You know who those people are?
No.
Well, you were going down the Florida State schedule, right?
Oh.
You were talking about the games they played, and you said one team was garbage. Do you recall which team that was?
No.
It was the team who hosted a baseball regional, and they lost their Applebee's, and the Tennessee fans were all upset. Yeah, so the mayor, Toby Barker of Southern Miss, has been tweeting about you.
Oh, really?
And he's, he's getting the boycott going again because
well,
he had
you know
it going
what, Toby,
once.
Did they just get rid of their coach or retain their coach? I can't remember.
Well, they won three games, I think. So guess what the head coach does?
That's
he
garbage.
Fires his staff, but they keep him.
Oh, yeah. Makes no sense. And you know this, Augie. Southern Miss used to be a big-time football power.
Remember when we were talking
Brett Favre
about...
Brett Favre went there, not that that's something to claim, but I have seen Southern Miss beat Alabama. I sat in the press box in 1982 and watched Southern Miss and Reggie Collier. You ever remember that name?
Yes.
He's
yes.
one of the best quarterbacks yes. I've ever seen in college football. Beat Bear
yes.
Bryant in his last game at Bryant-Denny Stadium. They used to be a power.
Yeah, he's a good
Ryan
quarterback.
Used to call them Mississippi Southern.
That's right.
That's how he described them.
But can you imagine the Italian Navy motto is if the ship hits the sandbar, the captain stays when he fires all the underlings. That's sort of like the USM motto. The coach stays when he fires his staff. But Paul, you know, we're talking about doctors and doctor visits. So Legion goes to his proctologist.
Right.
He's got a problem. Proctologist looks him over and says, okay, open your mouth.
like
I'm one
that.
Who laughs at my own jokes. But you know, Paul, the world is upside down when you got old Piss fans calling in and complaining that they're not rated high enough. They barely beat Texas A&M. They barely beat us. And they got whacked by Georgia. Now, how do they think they're better than Missouri? Because they beat us on a last-second drive?
I don't know. I thought
That's
Missouri
ridiculous.
At the end of the season was frightening.
Yes. Missouri was good all year long. They had a couple of faults. They should have beat us. They didn't. But Missouri has a good team, and you got to give them their due. And, Paul, I saw you were called out on the world scene to judge the events in the Middle East. But you know who has not been quiet? He's been very vocal, and I support his position. And that's Bruce Pearl. I don't know if you've been keeping up with his
tweets.
Yeah,
I have.
But I support him 100%. I have a lot of respect for him because of it. And as far as JK goes, he's made some pretty sapient calls. I know you don't like his position. But, Paul, what did you think about the case Cedric made about the Texas victory over Alabama? I mean, he made some good points.
No, and Augie, that's why I wanted him on. I wanted to hear that without interruption, like most of the conversations I have.
So it's already started, Paul. Even though Texas isn't in the SEC, it's basically like they're in this year because of the impact they could have on the playoffs.
Listen,
don't you agree?
Augie, I am a Texas fan. I hope they get in. I really do.
Well, if they get in, it's going to probably be at the expense of Bama.
Yeah, I can't. All I can do is fight for Bama when I'm on the forums that I'm on. I can't control the outcome.
No, listen, Sankey says your check's in the mail. Don't worry, you're doing a great job.
I don't know. I've got to work. I got a few more. I'm on a radio show in Monroe, Louisiana after the game, after the show.
Wow.
And then I'm doing Bayou LaBatre, which I think is in Alabama, isn't
That's Alabama, right?
Yeah, then I'm doing
Bayou LaBatre.
I'm doing a Lafayette cable access show. I'm on tour right now. I'm trying to beat the drums.
Well, Paul, you've got three more days left, so you better beat them really hard. Look, if Alabama wins,
I've been saying the same thing all day long, and I'm tired of it.
Hey, you're doing a great job, and Sankey says check's in the mail.
Well, that means a great deal. Thank you very much. We are heading to the break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and let's get to the calls. And AJ is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Paul, you had a girl that called first hour. Her name was Stacy, I believe.
Yes,
and, you know, I was trying to find her Twitter handle. And, you know, I scrolled all through Twitter under every girl's name, Stacy, and I just couldn't find her. Maybe you can help me out with that. Put your investigators on that. Yeah. But let's talk about some playoffs, Paul.
Okay.
Talk about playoffs. I'm going to tell you this. You know why Alabama's not getting the recognition that all these fans so eagerly are waiting on? It's because of 4th and 31. They didn't have any style points. They didn't show any kind of domination. They really and truly got beaten till the end of the game. And for that, the committee would not move them off of number 8. They've been number 8 since week 2 of losing to Texas. Week 2, Alabama fans. So y'all hadn't even been in the – y'all are in the rearview mirror of the committee, period. Even if you win next week or this week, you're not getting in. And so y'all might as well suck it up and face the facts. And I'm going to tell you something. That play, 4th and 31, is the reason Alabama – Paul, call a spade a spade. You're an upfront man. I'm an upfront man. I mean, the reason that they're not getting in the playoffs is because of the 4th and 31. Yeah, they succeeded on it. But
AJ, your bias is showing here. The reason that Alabama wouldn't get in the playoffs is because of Texas.
No, it's because you're not an Auburn fan.
AJ, Auburn had its chance. Let's move on. Nobody's overly concerned.
Okay,
Auburn right now.
Well, whatever you want to say. You know, I agree to disagree. But I will tell you this. The reason that Alabama is not getting in the playoffs is because of the greatest
moment
that
they've... You've said that now 5 times. Thanks for the call. Johnny is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Lord have mercy, I'm following AJ. I'd like to know all these the same geniuses that you have on year after year after year that say if you're going to lose, lose early, and then all out, you know, it plays itself out. And you know, you don't like to talk about odds, but the odds are there for a reason. And you like to say, well, it's how they compare. But it is because if they were to play, you would have to give someone points to make it equal to you. Now, where the hell is all these people that's been talking all this win early and blah, 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 and now they've turned and they got a different agenda?
So true.
I know it's true. It makes me sick. After we beat Georgia, it's going to be Alabama number one. And wait a minute, Texas number one, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, and Oregon 4. I would really like Missouri in there, but I don't like Bo Nix. But I'm going to give him a little credit. Hell, he's 34. He's about to retire. So, you know, he deserves something.
Preacher Man is up next as the hits keep coming.
Howdy, Mr. Paul.
Hello.
Appreciate you. Appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to give my 2 cents worth on the Iron Bowl. They're calling it the nightmare at Jordan Hare, and I'm loving it. You know, 10 years we had to deal with the pompous Auburn fans at the kick six. So now every time they say kick six, I hope they think about that 4th and 31, because I sure will. But I just wanted to put my 2 cents worth in there. Good to talk to you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very, very much. Good to hear from you. Catfish is up next in Texas.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking the call. It's always good to talk with you, and I love watching your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about karma and prejudice. Number one, I think that all that stuff about the kick six put the jinx on Auburn, and that's what resulted in 4th and 31. So I hope every time that they show the kick six in the future, they follow it up with 4th and 31, because they had it coming. And talk about karma. Did you notice that the guy that blindsided Alabama's punter is the one that got hurt in the scrum? Same guy. So, you know, karma comes back on you there too. And last but not least, I perceive a lot of prejudice on the part of the committee, and I think they're going to do anything they can to keep Alabama out of the playoff. I think Alabama is going to have to beat Georgia with a lot of style points in order to get up there, and that breaks my heart because I'm a Bama fan, Bama born. I love Bama, but I just don't think the committee is going to be fair with Bama. What do you think?
I don't know, I just don't. I mean, I don't know why. I don't think there's a prejudice against Alabama. They're just, the prejudice is that they're trying to give a sampler here and one here, and that does not help Alabama right now. Frank is in New Jersey. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Paul. First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, now I know I understand that you're not a big Harbaugh fan, and my father, he grew up in Troy, Michigan. So, listen, my question to you is, if Michigan does happen to make it to the final championship game, no matter who they play, do you think they actually have a chance to win it all, no matter what, who they play? I feel like they have the talent to do it, regardless of what has happened in the prior instances.
Frank, I think they're good enough. I do.
Okay. That's a simple question. That's all I got. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a, you know, I mean, for all the histrionics that we participate in, they're a very good football team. I mean, they're superb. And they have enough impact and elite skill position players that they can probably match up. Now, I don't know the shape of the opponent yet, but if it's Alabama or Georgia, I would favor those. But I think Michigan is they're one of my top teams, and that's not because they deserve it. They've earned it. Brad is up next in Georgia. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you doing, brother?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, Equalizer and Louie, for calling in. Most of your callers are 40 years of age and probably a little older than that. And don't let the reason that you're not here be because of something you could prevent. So go to your doctor, get screened, and be here as long as you can, because you only got one shot at it, right, Paul?
You better believe it.
Yes, sir. My question to you is, Paul, has there been any Power 5 team that's been undefeated, won the conference championship, and has not gotten into the playoff before?
Well, it's not, no, not in this, but there is one going back to 2004 before the playoff. There is a pretty famous story of Auburn University being 13-0 or 12-0, however.
Correct.
And they didn't get it because of the two teams ahead of them were undefeated, but not in the CFP era, no.
Well, Paul, I've totally been watching you today on the shows, and I totally agree with you. If Bama does go by Georgia, they do deserve a place in the national championship. I mean, not the CFP.
Right.
And, you know, Florida State.
And Brad, that's all I've argued. I think some people have misunderstood it. When you're on these shows, they give you this scenario. Okay, if Alabama wins, I think some people have missed that part of it. I'm not arguing anything.
Yeah.
The argument comes Saturday night. If Alabama beats Georgia, then I have no doubt. And I think it's a different debate about Georgia. I would probably still vote for Georgia, but I think the accomplishment of Alabama is They've just beaten Georgia. They've just in the most important game of the year in college football. So maybe on the same level with Ohio State. Hey, thank you very much. We have a few minutes remaining. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.